A change anywhere means a change everywhere. Just as a hologram contains the original image in all of its many parts, any change made to just one of those parts becomes a change that's reflected everywhere throughout the pattern. What a powerful relationship. A single change in one place can make a difference everywhere. Perhaps the best example of how little changes can affect an entire system can be seen in something that we're all familiar with, the DNA of our bodies. It's estimated that average humans have between 50 and 100 trillion cells in their bodies. Each of those cells contains 23 pairs of chromosomes that contain someone's DNA, their life code. When we do the math, this means that average people carry somewhere between 2,300 trillion and 4,600 trillion copies of DNA in their bodies. So just imagine how long it would take to make a change in someone's DNA if we attempted to update each copy of that DNA one cell at a time. But when DNA makes a change in the blueprint of a species, it doesn't have to do so one strand at a time. Because of the holographic principle, when a species' DNA changes, that change is reflected throughout the whole almost immediately. And this is the principle that empowers us, each of us, to create big change in our world through the seemingly little moments in our everyday lives. Key number 15 reminds us that through the hologram of consciousness, a little change in our lives is mirrored everywhere in our world. You're probably asking yourself, why is this important in my life? Well, while this is an obvious question, the answer may be even less obvious. The subtle power of the hologram is that it offers us the leverage to make a tremendous change on a large scale by changing a pattern in only one place. Understanding the holographic principle is important because it appears to describe precisely the way we work. From the DNA of our bodies to the atomic structure of the world around us to the way that memory and consciousness work, we appear to be holograms of a greater existence that we're only beginning to understand. The power of a mustard seed. The pioneering work of Carl Prebrum and the studies of other researchers that have followed showed that our minds and our brains function as holographic information processors. And if this is true for us as individuals, then it makes sense that our collective mind and our collective consciousness may work the same way as well. Today, over 6 billion humans and 6 billion minds inhabit the Earth. Within the container of the divine matrix, each individual's mind is part of a larger whole. Regardless of how different they may appear from one another, within each mind is the pattern of the whole consciousness. And through that link, we each have direct access to the entire pattern. In other words, we each have the power to change the hologram of our world. While for some people this is an unconventional way to think about who we are, for others, it's perfectly aligned with their beliefs and their experiences. Scientific studies support these principles and have found that when people within a group share a common experience of consciousness, the effects of that experience can be detected beyond the group itself and even beyond the building that they're meeting in. Clearly, inner experiences are being carried through some subtle conduit in a way that's not limited by the laws of physics, at least the way we know those laws today. One example of this phenomenon is seen in the effect that transcendental meditation, or TM, can have upon large populations. 1972, for example, 24 cities in the United States, each with populations over 10,000 people, experienced meaningful changes in their communities when as few as 1% of those people participated in the studies. That's only 100 people. Those involved in the studies used specific techniques of meditation to create inner experiences of peace that were mirrored in the world around them. Those involved in the studies used specific techniques of meditation to create the inner experiences of peace that were mirrored in the world around them. The effect is called the Maharishi effect, in honor of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who stated that when 1% of a given population practiced the techniques of meditation that he offered, there would be a reduction in violence and crime for that population. These and similar studies led to a landmark project. It was called the International Peace Project in the Middle East and was published in the Journal of Conflict Resolution in 1988. During the Israeli-Lebanese War of the early 1980s, practitioners were trained in precise techniques of TM to create peace in their bodies, rather than simply to think about peace in their minds or pray for peace to occur. On specific days of the month, specific times of each day, these people were positioned within the war-torn areas of the Middle East. During the window of time that they were at peace, terrorist activities stopped altogether, crimes against people declined, emergency hospital room visits declined, and traffic accidents dropped. When the people stopped their practice, all of these statistics reversed. Well, these studies confirm the earlier findings that when a small percentage of the population achieved peace within themselves, that peace is reflected in the world around them. The findings took into account the days of the week, holidays, and even lunar cycles, and were so consistent that the researchers were able to identify the minimum number of people needed to experience peace within before that peace is mirrored in the world around them. The number is the square root of 1% of the population, and this number represents only the minimum number required for the effect to begin. The more people that participate, the more pronounced the effect. So while we may not fully understand all the reasons as to why the effects are present, the correlations and the results demonstrate that they are. To apply this principle in our lives for any group of people, regardless of whether it's a small community, the congregation of a church, a large city, or the entire planet, to determine how many people are needed to work together for peace and healing in that community, the formula suggests the following. First, determine the total number of people that are present. Secondly, calculate 1% of that total number. In other words, multiply that number by 0.01. Thirdly, calculate the square root of that 1%. Well, this formula produces numbers that are smaller than we might expect. So, for example, in a city of 1 million people, the number required to jumpstart the experience of peace is only about 100. In a world of 6 billion people, that number is only about 8,000. And this number represents only the minimum number needed to begin the process. Obviously, the more people that are involved, the faster the effect is created. While these and similar studies obviously deserve more exploration, they do show us that there's an effect and that that effect is beyond chance. That effect is summarized in key number 16 of our exploration of the Divine Matrix. The key simply states that the minimum number of people required to jumpstart a change in consciousness is the square root of 1% of a population. Maybe this is the reason that so many wisdom traditions emphasize the importance of each individual to the whole. In one of the best-known parables of the power of belief, Jesus used the holographic principle to illustrate how just a little faith is all that's required to open the door to a greater possibility. In words that are simple and direct, he stated, quote, "I tell you the truth. If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Mountain, move,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." End of quote. We'll explore the implications of just what this means in the following section, but before we do, a brief clarification of faith, I think, is appropriate here. The word faith itself can sometimes carry a bit of an emotional charge, as it's often associated with a belief that has no apparent foundation or basis to support it. We commonly hear this kind of belief referred to as blind faith. My sense is that there really is no such thing as absolutely blind faith, that somewhere deep inside of us, all of our beliefs come from the feeling of a deeper connection between the things that are and the things that can be. While we may not always be conscious of our beliefs or able to state the words of why we believe something is so, our beliefs are true for us, and that truth is the foundation of faith. There is a kind of faith, however, that's actually based in a very solid foundation of leading-edge science, supported by the discoveries of quantum physics. Previously, we discussed why it is that the physical world has changed by simply observing it. As the experiments showed, it's the act of us watching something, conscious observation, that locks one of the possibilities into place as what becomes our reality. In other words, the expectation or the belief that we have while we are observing is the ingredient that chooses which possibility becomes the real experience in our lives. Well, with this in mind, the faith in Jesus' statement is more than simply saying the words that the mountain is moved. In a parable that's nearly 2,000 years old, we're taught a powerful language with which to choose reality from the infinite possibilities that already exist. As Neville states so clearly in his description of faith, through the act of persisting in the assumption that your desire is already fulfilled, your world inevitably conforms to your assumption. In the example of the mountain, when we truly know that it is already moved, our faith, our belief, our assumption that it has happened is the energy that jolts that possibility into the reality that we experience. In the quantum realm of all possibilities, the mountain has no choice. It must move. When I share such studies with live audiences, they're commonly met with a gasp that comes from somewhere between wanting to believe and the frustration that's expressed as a thinking that says, this is just too simple. It cannot be this simple. My response is this: why would we expect anything less? In the holographic world of the divine matrix, all things are possible, and we choose our possibilities. Believing that we are here and that the possibilities are out there, however, sometimes gives us the feeling that they're inaccessible. The same rules that describe how the divine matrix works also tell us that in the deeper reality, what we typically think of as somewhere else is really already here and vice versa. It's all about the way we see ourselves in the field of all possibilities. Knowing that everything from the most horrible suffering to the most joyous ecstasy and everything between already exists, it makes perfect sense that we have the power to choose which of those possibilities we bring into our lives. And we do so through the silent language of imagination, dreams, and belief.